If you haven't noticed, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I know the teens are having a get-together after worship tonight to finish watching the game. I didn't turn it on, so I don't know who's winning, who's losing, or anything about it. But in thinking about it and just thinking about some things that our church family's been through, I'm going to entitle this lesson, How to Have a Super Day, a Super Day. Invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. We're going to look at one verse of this song. You'll remember that the Psalms were songs that they would sing. In fact, Psalm 118 has been described by many as a song of thanksgiving sung by worshipers as they made their way to the temple. I want to read a few of the verses from Psalm 118. Beginning with verse 20, and there's some wording here that would lend to this idea that this was one of those processional songs that they would sing as they are headed to the temple to worship. I'll begin reading in verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you or praised you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Again, several of the words there, the phrases, would lend to this idea that they would sing this psalm as they went to the temple to worship. I want to look at the 24th verse, one verse that I'd like for us to examine a little more closely. One that you can probably quote, and I think it's a great one to quote whenever you get up in the morning. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice, first of all, in this verse of this psalm, the segment that's highlighted. This is the day. This is the day. What day is speaking about today? Ephesians 5:15 is a great commentary on this idea of realizing the blessing of today. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Walk circumspectly, which means walk carefully. Redeeming the time. New American Standard has making the most of your time. I like what the Amplified Version does with this passage as it seeks to amplify some of the words to help us have a greater understanding of it. It reads, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully, worthily, and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil." The one paraphrase states it, "These are evil times, so make every minute count." Redeem the time, literally buy up the opportunity. Notice the psalmist says, this is the day. The focus is on today, not yesterday. Because many times we get stuck in yesterday. We may live in the past. That's not the psalmist's focus. Nor was it Paul's when he wrote, "I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." The psalmist says the focus is not yesterday, though we're to learn from yesterday's mistakes and successes. But this is the day. This is the day, not tomorrow. Others may make the mistake of postponing their living or postponing their happiness until tomorrow. We need to learn to live in today, in the present tense. Here's a poem entitled Present Tense by Jason Lehman. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. And it ends, my life was over, but I never got what I wanted. And the failure is to appreciate today. Notice that's the psalmist's focus, to focus on this is the day. Notice, secondly, that the Lord has made. He speaks of the sovereign, the Lord. He has made this day. He has given us this day. And here, to me, is the greatest way to have a super day, is to realize and view each day as a gift from God. If we wake up and our first thought is, today is a gift, thank you, God, then I believe that's the beginning of having the proper attitude and appreciating this day. I read about a conversation that two people had on a ham radio years ago. An older man was talking on the radio with a friend named Tom. And this is what the older man said to Tom. Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you have to be away from home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 hours a week to make ends meet. It's too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital. Let me tell you something that has helped me keep my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain his theory of 1,000 marbles. 1,000 marbles. You see, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. That's far past that now. 75 years. I know some live more, some live less, but on average, folks live about 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 70 times 52, and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. Now stick with me, Tom. I'm getting to the important part. It took me until I was 55 years old to think about all this in any detail. And by that time, I had lived through over 2,800 Saturdays. I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store, and I bought every single marble they had. Had to go to 3 toy stores in order to accumulate 1,000 marbles. I took them home and put them inside a large clear plastic container right here next to my gear. And every Saturday since then, I've taken 1 marble out and thrown it away. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focus more on the really important things in life. There's nothing like watching your time here on this earth run out to help get your priorities straight. And let me tell you one last thing this man said to Tom. Before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out for breakfast, this morning I took the very last marble out of the container. I figured that if I make it until next Saturday, then I've been given a little extra time. And the one thing we can all use is a little more time. It was nice to meet you, Tom. I hope you spend more time with your family. Now, some of you are doing the math. I knew when I read this and intended to share it, some of you are going to do the math and say you're out of marbles. But I prefer for us to look at it as God has given us more marbles. He's given us more time to enjoy and to make the most of. View life as a gift from God and make the most of it. Yes, life every day is a gift from God. But also think of it this way. What we do with each day is our gift to God. Remember, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, Paul says. And what we do with today, this gift from God, is our gift back to Him. And we want it to be the very best gift that it can be. The psalmist says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, Psalm 90, verse 12. And whether you use marbles in a jar or not, let's make the most of each day the gift that it is. But then I want to notice a third thing from this small verse and this psalm, and that's the selection. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the New King James wording. Some of them stated, let us rejoice. But I like this because it makes direct application. It's a choice that we make. It's a decision that we rejoice and be glad in it. Judge Ziegler was a great salesman. I remember many know Zig Ziegler better. Judge was his brother. But Judge Ziegler was also a very good salesman. And I ran across an article that he'd written in one of his books that really, to me, makes this point of making the choice to rejoice and be glad in it. He entitles it, Wake Up, Son, Wake Up. He writes, when I was a little boy, just 5 years old, my mother used to come in the morning and wake me up. I can still see her as if it were just yesterday. When mother came in to wake me up, she put her hands on my little shoulder and gave a gentle shake and said, Son, wake up, wake up. We're going to have a good time today. I would bound out of bed in that cold room. You see, I lived in the little town of Yazoo, Mississippi. My father had died when I was only 2 years old. At any rate, in those days, we didn't have any heaters in the house. We had open fireplaces. With open fireplaces, you do not get up all night and keep wood on the fire, so the fires burn out. It's almost as cold on the inside of the house when you first wake up in the morning as it is on the outside of the house. We didn't have electricity. We had kerosene lamps, which were not uncommon on those days. We did have running water, the kind that you run out and get. At any rate, I would bound out of bed and dash into the kitchen. Mother would already have built the fire in the wood stove she cooked on. And right next to the firebox of this wood stove would be a chair. I would plop down in that chair and Mother would wrap a big quilt around me. Then she'd hand me a cup of coffee. Yes, I learned to drink coffee when I was only 5 years old. It was so good. Mother and I would sit there and drink our coffee. Then I would get up and get dressed and we'd go out in the backyard. In the backyard, we had three large tubs. I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about when I say we had three large tubs. They were just huge galvanized tubs. We had them sitting on a wash bench. We would have filled them with water the night before. Ice would have formed on top in the morning. It gets cold in Mississippi in January. I'd take an old broken axe handle, break the ice off the top of the water. With my bare hands, I would grab the ice and throw it out into the ground. Mother and I would go out into the garden and pull winter turnips we raised. We would bring those turnips over and stack them right next to the wash bench. Now again, I don't know whether you've ever been to the Mississippi Delta or not. The dirt would stick to the roots of the turnips. We would take a handful of the turnip greens and splash them in the first tub, then the second, then the third. And by the time they'd gone through three tubs of water, those turnips would be clean. We then tied a string around them in bunches, and that's the way we sold the turnip greens to the grocery stores, which provided some income. I don't know whether you remember how small your hands were when you were 5 years old or not. I'm convinced that when you're 5 years old, your hands are smaller than at any other age in life. I do know for a certainty that your hands get colder when you're 5 years old than at any other age in life. One morning I was standing there on a little stool, splashing the turnip greens down in that bitter cold water. My hands had turned blue. They hurt so badly I really thought they were going to fall off. I stopped and looked at my mother and said, "Mother, you always come in the morning and wake me up. And when you wake me up, you always say the same thing. Wake up, son, wake up. We're going to have a good time today." "Now, Mama, I'm not having a good time." I've always been thankful for a mother who took the time to stop, and when she stopped, she said to me, "Son, as long as you live, you're going to wake up." I believe you would all agree, as you read this, that was a pretty simple philosophy. Our mother was a very simple woman. She went on to display the absolute genius that was within her. She said, "Now, son, when you wake up, you have to make a decision. You can decide that today is going to be a good day. If you want to, you can decide that it's going to be a bad day. I don't care which way you decide. That's going to be entirely up to you. But I care very much that you make the decision." My mother knew that most people get up today like it was going to be another yesterday. My mother knew that we should get up every day looking forward to doing things rather than just taking days as they come. We should make the most of every day we live. Several days later, Mother came in the morning to wake me up with the same song. "Wake up, son, wake up. We're going to have a good time today." I looked from under the stack of quilts I was sleeping under and said, "Mother, it's going to be a bad day today." She said, "All right," and left. I stayed in bed and she went out to do the work. About 10 o'clock, the sun was out. Fires had been built in all the fireplaces. The house was warm, and Mother was in the kitchen cooking dinner. Now, let me explain. In Mississippi, dinner is the meal you eat around 12 o'clock. Supper is the meal you eat in the evening. I realize that in most sections of the country, dinner is the evening meal, and they don't know what supper is. At any rate, Mother was cooking dinner. I bounded out of bed, ran into the kitchen where Mother was cooking. When I got in the kitchen, my mother, of course, spotted me as I walked in the door. She stopped what she was doing, walked over, and took me by my little hand and headed back to the bedroom. As we walked toward the bedroom, my mother said to me, "Son, this morning you decided it's going to be a bad day. It's my responsibility as your mother to see to it that that comes to pass." So plop. She put me back into bed, where she left me until 5 o'clock the next morning. And I want you to know, dear reader, that at 5 o'clock the next morning, after having stayed in bed all day long and all night long, I was ready to have a good day. "And quite frankly," he says, "I've been having a good day ever since." I'm convinced, he says, you can predetermine whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. I'm also convinced that it is critical that you learn to make the decision each and every day. My mother was not interested in the whims of a 5-year-old boy. She was much more interested in building into me those characteristics which would stand me in good stead when I became a man. I've always loved that story. Was glad to find the full version of it. Because it's so true. When we wake up, we make a choice. Really, our disposition is a decision. We have a choice to make. Abraham Lincoln said, "Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be." So I want to encourage you. Every morning that we wake up, that we thank God for the day. And that we make the most of it. And that we determine first thing in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made. we will rejoice and be glad in it. And the reason we can do that is because we know the Lord has given us this gift. It's a blessing for us to use to His glory. And with that in mind, we can face the day ready to seize the opportunities that are all around us every day to serve Him. To serve Him by seeking out the needs of others and helping to meet them. I hope that these thoughts from this verse of this psalm will be helpful in helping each of us have a super day every day. Perhaps tonight you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. No greater way to use this time today than to do that. Or perhaps others need the prayers of the church on your behalf. If that be the case, please come and let us know as we, together we stand and sing.